The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Can everyone hear me? Good. All right. So, and let me just get out of this view. I want to be in gallery. Perfect. So, good evening and welcome everyone tonight. It's good to see everyone here at the Village Zendo, both online and major thank you to those who are holding the space in Lower Manhattan. I appreciate everyone's effort in being here. And I'm also still feeling the glow from a wonderful Ango and Shuso Hosen period that we had, that was led by our Shuso, led wonderfully by our Shuso Yakuin Pozi. And during this time, we were studying Uji, Dogen's Uji, otherwise known as Time Being. And although Ango is officially kind of past, it's not. Nothing is past. So that's what Uji is telling us. So I thought I'd come back, and I wanted to look at it. I wanted to have a go at it because I've always approached Uji as a dunce in an algebra class, an advanced algebra class. You know, I always had this extreme doubt that I was going to really parse the fundamental matter here. And I think why I got so much out of it this time, the time being, is because I saw how honored doubt is in the sutra itself. And that my doubt and feeling overwhelmed by this fascicle is exactly the point. When you look at what he's really saying in Uji, doubt is part of the intimacy of not knowing. And that's the whole idea here, not knowing, meeting each moment in the present. And I take it, or I took it this time through it, as a very encouraging work. I think Dogen is cheering us on in a way to meet the moment, not shrink away. And I also appreciate the fact that he's saying, okay, if you're confused, you're overwhelmed, that's just a part of time being. It points to a shift in understanding, in that feeling of dread, knowing that, oh, you know, if we sit with that dread for a little bit, we ultimately might be seeing ourselves open up into this very moment. And that leads us to some questions. How are we going to live our time being right now? What is the responsibility of waking up to this vast awareness? How can we take care of it? So I've been thinking a lot about time and existence lately, and that's really the central point here in Uji, that time and being or existence are not separate. So in my own time being, I've recently undertaken the project of digitizing my archive of works from a time when I was quite vigorously documenting the AIDS activist movement. This was in the late 1980s and 1990s. And You know, I feel compelled in this moment to do it because the work is all deteriorating. You know, I think it's on its way out of existence. It will become dust or unplayable pretty soon. So that's kind of a motivation to do that, that kind of impermanence. But I also noticed that these tapes themselves are not a kind of static thing. I have a relationship with them that has really changed over time and kept them present to me in very in some unique ways. And one of them was one of the ways that they kind of opened up my awareness to how nothing, meaning is not fixed, was how the people who were pictured in these videotapes, because there were no effective treatments for AIDS at that time, they all died. Many of them in these tapes died relatively quickly. So in a relatively short period of time, these videos went from revolutionary cultural practice. We were out there, we were making change, we were going to change the world. There, like a couple of years later, I was looking at them and so many people had died. Young people, people in the vigor of their lives, they were gone. And so these tapes that had once meant one thing all of a sudden became memento mori, or a reminder of death. And for the 20-something year old I was at the time, that was very devastating. I became very depressed after that, and you know, didn't go out that much for a while. And that grief that I felt is present right now. It's what brought me to Zen. And in the moment, in Uji, one can find subtle hints of the presence of time being. As I've been working with these tapes, digitizing them now, they've taken on another different quality. That grief is not the primary thing that I'm going through. I'm meeting old friends in the moment. And it becomes it's not a moment that is past. It's a moment that's very alive. I talk to these people on the TV all the time. They don't answer me, but I do talk to them. And perhaps you too have all experienced this when you look at a photograph that you took of somebody you loved and they passed. And so do you forget the moment that you took the photograph? Usually not. I think many times we remember. But we certainly don't doubt that that moment existed, whether we remembered it or not. Dogen advises us, an ordinary person who does not understand Buddha Dharma may hear the words of time being this way. For a while, I was 3 heads and 8 arms. For a while, I was an 8 or 16 foot body. This is like having crossed over rivers and climbed mountains. Even though the rivers and mountains exist, I've already passed them and now reside in the jeweled palace and vermilion tower. So I think what he's saying here is that, it's really a misperception to think that the time when I filmed doing a die-in in the street, or in fact, I did a die-in in the street, or that time when you held that camera and took that photo. None of that has ceased to exist. It's there. It's in the present moment. The experience has not gone away. It's not separate. And its meaning is not fixed. It changes over time. As does everything. We're not separate from it. So, These tapes are exhilarating. They're grief. They're activist videotapes from the late 1980s, early 90s. They're stacks of plastic cases filled with Mylar that's deteriorating and headed for the dump. You know, it's all this in the time being. He goes on to expand on this idea in this next piece, where he's looking at time and being as not being separate. Time is not separate from you. And as you are present, time does not go away. And as time is not marked by coming and going, the moment you climb the mountains, the moment that you took that photograph, is time being right now. If time keeps coming and going, you are the time being right now. This is the meaning of time being. Does this time being not swallow up the moment when you climbed the mountains and the moment when you resided in the jeweled palace and vermilion tower? Does it not spit them out? So the time is not sticking in any one of these places, but it is being actualized, being spit out, which I wonder if that, sometimes I wonder what the translation really indicates there. I think it's a kind of interesting metaphor that, like, almost like a dragon, you know, chews up the universe and spits out fire. But he's saying we are the past actualized right here in the time being. You know, that's kind of a heady concept, and but it's powerful if you can stop reading it and thinking it and try and live it. I mean, that's when it has its most value. So I keep on, you know, I'm sort of mining some recent experiences I've had and just presenting them in the spirit of Uji. For instance, I remember Roshi, as my college professor in interactive telecommunications at NYU. She was co-founder of the program. This was in the late 80s and 90s when I was making these videotapes. This is before she was a sensei or a Roshi. She was a doctor, and she still is a doctor. She has a PhD. But like all of her students, we all called her Pat. Yeah, you know, there was that kind of intimacy. And although she and I really never named our relationship as such, I realized, you know, this was a mentorship all along. You can have these relationships and then realize, oh my God, I was so lucky. This was a and that quality was of mentoring meant that this was someone who is going to encourage you forward. It's going to appreciate your work. And that quality is not passed. It hasn't passed over all these years of practice at the Zendo. I remember one day when, one of those rare days when I was depressed, and back in 1994, I was on the street and I ran into Roshi, and her head was shaved. And I thought, oh, I hope she's okay. And she said, I've become a Zen monk and we're practicing in my apartment. And why don't you come and join us sometime? And because of this quality of mentorship and this encouragement, I thought, let me go. And I went. And I've been going since that time I've been going to the Village Zendo. And Village Zendo over this period of time has changed. It's gone through three or four different spaces. And now with the advent of Zoom being so critical, it's expanded the space further. But all these different iterations are still present right here, right now. And in a way, I find this as being the ultimate encouragement I find in Uji, in that it gives us an opportunity in practicing right here and right now. It gives us an opportunity to go into the mud, even when we're confused and overwhelmed and angry and unhappy about a situation we find ourselves in. The time being, and I spent so much of my own life wanting to be somewhere else or desiring something other than what I had. And in that period of time, you know, I was missing my life. And what he's saying here is, no, there's a place for you. There's a place for everything. But your awareness right now, your opening up into this awareness, gives you the opportunity to think expansively in any situation you're in. I was writing this talk. I was torn. I needed to be two places at the same time, and I didn't know which to do. Did I go to a festival that I was supposed to go to for one day, or did I stay and take care of my family? Which was some things popped up, and it was making me nuts because I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. So Uji gave me the ability, or this time plumbing it, gave me this little nugget that allowed me to say in that moment, for the time being, confused, overwhelmed. And sitting with that made me, first of all, really appreciate having such great options. And ultimately, I embraced the moment, just did what I needed to do without all the overwhelming and all the craziness. And I started writing this Dharma talk, which again, the past is unfurling right into the present. So, Dogen is saying, even in craziness, even in confusion, yes, this is your time being. Mind overwhelms mind, sees mind. Words overwhelm words and see words. Overwhelming overwhelms, overwhelming sees overwhelming. Overwhelming is nothing but overwhelming. This is time. As overwhelming is caused by you, there's no overwhelming that's separate from you. Thus you go out and meet someone. Someone meets someone. You meet yourself. What a beautiful invitation to meet yourself. On Monday, I was fortunate, as I was walking down the street, I found a pair of eclipse glasses on the sidewalk. And I was so happy because, you know, I thought, oh, now I could really go and watch the eclipse. And so I went out to the piers with my glasses, and you know, it was just loaded with people with their glasses, with their cereal boxes. Everybody at the same time was looking at the movement of the universe. You know, how amazing. And when the eclipse hit its apex, I guess that's what you call it, everybody started cheering and clapping. And how exhilarating that was in a time of such polarization and disagreement, that everybody was just appreciating that moment, the time being. And I think Dogen, who wrote Uji in Japan around the year 1240, at the age of 40, is still sending us his living and breathing encouragement to be present right now. So I'm going to leave you with the words of Walt Whitman from the end of Leaves of Grass. You know, Walt Whitman is one of these poets that also seems to always be reaching out for some vast awareness. I depart as air. I shake my white locks at the runaway sun. I effuse my flesh in eddies and drift it in lacy jags. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nevertheless, and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me at first, keep encouraged. Missing me, one place, search for another. I stop somewhere, waiting for you.